neck. She nearly groaned from that alone. Jackson let her head fall back on his shoulder to give him better access to her very sensitive neck. Her stomach clenched as his hands reached her thong, but instead of getting to work, they slid down her inner thighs. His movements were too slow for her liking. She would have snapped at him with impatience, but then his fingertips bit into her skin as they ascended. One hand cupped her while the other continued upwards, under her dress, and palmed her bra-clad breast. A soft moan was followed by a gasp as a finger slid past her thong and between her wet folds.
"You know, Jax, I have to ask myself why you cave just like that."
He worked a finger inside her and groaned inwardly at how wet she was, at how her muscles tightened around his finger.
"You're one of the most stubborn people I know. You've fought me since you first saw me again. And up until, what, 5 minutes ago, you wanted to fight this."
Jackson was beginning to think this might not have been a good idea. Not only was his every touch sending a thundering rush of desire through her that topped anything she had ever before known, but the fact that they were outside and it was dark was only adding to the thrill. Her back arched slightly as he thumbed a hard nipple through the lacy bra. And now his finger was picking up its rhythm. Oh, Jesus. They needed to get to the shagging part quickly. Why was he still talking?
"I can't work out why you just threw in the towel like that."
The complete turnaround was really bugging him. If she had caved during a moment of pleasure, he could have accepted that. But for her to go from a confrontational stance to a shag-me position, he just didn't get it. He was about to say as much, but then that perfect ass teasingly rubbed against his hard cock. Control gone. He drove his hand into her chocolate brown curls, yanked her face to his, and slammed his mouth down on hers. He took complete possession of it, tangling his tongue with hers over and over and then sucking on it. As he added another finger inside her, she hummed her satisfaction into his mouth. It was going to be a tight fit. He scissored his fingers, stretching her, teasing her, preparing her.
"Why the sudden white flag, Jax?"
"For God's sake," she snapped. The bloke never let up. "I'm horny and I want you. If that's not enough, if this was only fun when I was resisting you, then get into your car and piss off." His fingers stilled. A moment later, he withdrew them. For a second, she thought he was leaving, but then she heard the telling sound of a wrapper being torn and a zipper being lowered. Her thong went with a snap. Finally, she felt the tip of his condom-covered cock teasing her soaking wet entrance. Connor caught her hips firmly and worked an inch inside her. So wet. He closed his eyes against the temptation to plunge into her. He was long and thick, and she was so tight. She squirmed, and her muscles clutched at him, trying to take him further inside. But he held himself immobile and tightened his grasp on her hips to stop her squirms.
"Want more?"
Oh, he'd better not be one of those people who loved to hear begging. She didn't do begging. She gave him a curt nod.
"Then tell me who's inside you."
"What?"
"I need to know you're not picturing yourself with just anyone."
It bugged him that she wanted to have her back to him.
"I need to hear that you know it's me who's about to bury my cock inside you and fuck you raw."
A tremor rippled down the length of her spine. "I'm not picturing anyone else." He rewardingly pushed in another inch. Her muscles clamped down on him, practically squeezing the life out of him.
"Then you can tell me who's inside you."
Swallowing her profanity, she relented. "Connor." He gave her another inch. God, the feeling of him stretching her. It tingled. It burned. It stung. It was absolutely amazing. She was sure that she hadn't accommodated someone so thick before.
"Tell me again."
He didn't doubt for 1 minute that his insistence would have her snapping at him, but he wouldn't let her treat this as a nightly encounter with a stranger. "Kona." Another inch. He groaned. She was so gorgeously hot and tight around him. It was taking every ounce of his control to not fully sheath himself in one last stroke. It really didn't help that her body language was urging him to do exactly that.
Again, Jax.
So far, Jackson had bit back at least a dozen curses and even resisted the temptation to stomp on his foot, but now he was just cheesing her off. She growled.
Christ, Connor, either stop with this crap and fuck me, or sod off and I'll get someone else to take care of the itch.
He stiffened, and everything suddenly seemed deathly quiet. All right, maybe that hadn't been the smartest thing to say, but he was getting on her wick and he knew it. She silently cursed herself as he withdrew from her. Yep, she'd pushed it too far. But then he abruptly slammed into her, seating himself to the hilt. Her eyes snapped open and she cried out at the painful but so blissful invasion. He bit her ear.
Don't talk to me about letting another bloke touch you.
He surged into her again.
Do you hear me? Don't.
It didn't matter that they weren't in a relationship. It didn't matter that once the lust had burned away, they'd go their separate ways. His soul had already claimed her as his a long time ago and would always see her that way. No matter where in the world she was, or who, he hated even the thought of it, she was with. The idea of another bloke's hands on her, it would always drive him to breaking point. Jackson's back was arched like a bow as he plunged in and out of her with hard, fast, powerful strokes. She threw her head back to rest on his shoulder again, relishing every sensation. He nibbled and kissed and sucked on her neck. She knew he was purposely marking her, but she couldn't find it in herself to care. The concoction of heat, lust, and bliss that was blasting through her like a hot wind was so intense that it left no room for anything else. It was all simply too much. It was nowhere near enough.
10 years, Jace, he gritted out. 10 years we've wanted this, and you thought you could ignore it.
He was right, she acknowledged. It was always going to happen. From the moment she had heard his voice again on her machine, it was inevitable. But even if she had been prepared to admit that aloud, it seemed that she had forfeited the power of speech in favor of carnal bliss. She was adrift in the sensation of his thick, long cock pumping in and out of her. She knew that with one touch to her clit, she'd go off like a sodding volcano. As the tenor of her cries signaled to Connor that her climax was looming, he pulled out of her, spun her round, and meshed his lips with hers. The kiss was raw and primitive, just like their joining. The second he lifted her, she locked her legs around him. Then, holding her gaze, he drove into her over and over and over, making her take everything he had to give. Jackson clung to him, her nails digging into his back through his shirt. She loved the feel of him so deep inside her. But she didn't like the eye contact. It made her feel exposed, vulnerable, even. She didn't want him to see the truth that this was more to her than just a shag in the dark, a scratch to an itch. She tucked her face into the crook of his neck. She was so close now.
Look at me, Jax.
Oh, the bastard.
Look at me.
He wanted to be caught up in that feral gaze when they both came.
Jax.
Hoping against hope that the out-of-control sensations spiraling through her might disguise any deeper emotions from her eyes, she lifted her head. And just like that, at the raw possessiveness and fevered lust she saw on his face, a violent climax tore through her. Connor covered her mouth with his own, capturing her scream as his own release hit and his cum exploded out of him.
Fuck!
Neither of them moved as, panting and gasping for breath, they waited for the aftershocks to subside. He wanted to say something, but didn't know what. He could tell her the truth, that that had been the best sex of his life, that it hadn't been meaningless to him like every other shag he'd had. That he'd missed her so fucking much. But wouldn't that be the equivalent of leading her to believe that more could come of this? Jackson slid down his body, not letting it show that she felt the loss of him being buried deep within her. It hadn't been as good as she'd always imagined it might be. It had been a million times better. Not bad, Mackenzie. She was going for calm, flippant, and casual. It must have worked a lot better than she thought, because his eyes bugged and his mouth drooped open. Clearly, he had been hoping for a much more decent compliment. She fixed her dress, praying her legs would support her quick exit. No sign of her torn thong. Great. Seeing that he already had questions in his eyes, she decided she'd just have to leave the thong. It was time to go.
"Not bad, Mackenzie,"
he echoed in a tone filled with disbelief as he removed the condom and zipped up his pants.
"Whoa, whoa, whoa,"
he called after her as she scuttled off.
"Is that all you can say?"
"What do you want me to say?" She retrieved her coat from the hood of her Audi and slung it onto the passenger seat as she hopped into the car. Before she could close the door, a hand grabbed it tightly. She looked up to see him scowling down at her.
"Connor, what's the problem? We both got what we wanted. We're both going home satisfied."
"So that's it? One shag and done?"
It wasn't lost on him that he sounded a lot like some of the women he had shagged in the past. Jackson veiled her relief at hearing he had more than just a one-off shag in mind. It was going to take more than the one time to rid him from her system. But she couldn't let him see that weakness. Connor was, essentially, a predator. Predators and weakness did not mix well. She maintained her casual air.
"All right, look, I've got a lot on at the minute, but I don't see why we can't get together again. Phone me."
With that, she snatched the door from his grasp, banged it shut, and drove off without a second look. It was the only way to keep herself safe. She couldn't let anyone in. Especially not Connor Mackenzie. Chapter 7.
"Not bad, Mackenzie?" repeated Anna, shocked.
"Oh, Jackson, you didn't." It had been days since she had last seen Jackson, and she had been waiting desperately for the scoop. Whatever she had expected to hear, it wasn't that Jackson decided to have a rendezvous at nighttime in a wooded area. Brilliant. But not bad, Mackenzie? Dear God.
"For all I knew, one shag was all he was after,"
said Jackson defensively, swinging Bronte's lead in the humid air. The dumb dog was fascinated with a pine comb at the moment. Each time she walked him in the park, she became more and more concerned by the fact that her dog didn't seem to do anything typical of canines. He didn't go round pissing and shitting, marking his territory. He didn't sniff everyone and everything he came into contact with. He didn't try to chase other animals. It was almost as though he had no innate instincts that told him how to behave.
"I thought I'd play it casual, so it was painless for both of us to walk away."
It would never be truly painless for her, though. She knew that for sure Wednesday night.
"I guess I see your point, but not bad, Mackenzie?
At least I commented on the shag. All he did was pounce on the idea of me walking off after just the one time.
He sounded like a girl, to be quite honest. I don't think I've ever met a bloke who minded being used for sex."
"So, what does that tell you?"
She knew what Anna was getting at, but Jackson was smart enough to know that Connor would never want more than what they had now, which was very little.
"That his ego is too sensitive?"
Anna shook her head, smiling. If only Jackson could see her own worth instead of viewing herself as a moody bitch, Anna might have a shot at convincing her of what she herself believed. Connor Mackenzie would never let her go, even if he didn't realize it himself yet.
"When are you seeing him next?"
Tingles abruptly scurried along Jackson's spine, and the nape of her neck began to itch. Someone was watching her. Just like when she went shopping with Anna that time, it felt wrong. Like the gaze was sending a bad vibe. Still managing to hold onto the thread of the conversation, she replied while scanning her surroundings.
"I told him to phone me."
There were people around the park, but no one who gave her cause to look twice. Was she getting paranoid?
He's a bloke, so that could take days. They like to play it cool so they don't seem desperate, as if the way they ravish us when they do see us doesn't tell us differently. They both winced as Bronte tried to eat a bee. Do you fancy trying that new bar, Frankie's, later? When Jackson groaned, she added, Come on, we never hit any bars last weekend. Only because we went to the charity event. A loud bark had both of them jerking around. Jackson felt her eyebrows shoot up as she found Bronte in the kind of pouncing position expectant of a lion, glaring at someone who, judging by his attire, was a jogger. She could only guess that he had given Bronte a fright when he sprung out of the trees onto their path. "Bronte, you daft sod, sorry," she told the jogger when she approached. "He's a bit odd, to tell you the truth."
"It's all right. He's just protecting his mistress."
Jackson gave Bronte, who hadn't moved a muscle, a little shove. "Oi, snap out of it, and stop posing like that." She looked at Anna. "Do you think he knows he's a dog?" Anna was too busy staring open-mouthed at the jogger to answer. Jackson knew that look and what it meant. It wasn't unusual for celebs to stroll around this park, but damn if Jackson could recognize him. She again took in his athletic build, his dark eyes, his high cheekbones and tousled dark hair. She also took in the fact that he didn't have an ounce of sweat on him, which was surely odd for someone jogging around, especially in this heat. And then there was the look on his face. He seemed nervous, had the look of someone who'd known exactly what they wanted to say, but been put off. Like stage fright. "All right, well, bye." She took a frozen Anna by the arm and guided her away. The bloke did start jogging then. Yes, she was being paranoid. "Now that is one divine man," said Anna, finally back to earth. "Who is he?" Anna regarded her like she was loopy. "That's Luke Winston." Jackson looked none the wiser. "Don't you know who Luke Winston is?" Jackson shook her head. "He seems a bit familiar." "So he should. He was in a boy band when he was younger, and now he's an actor. Doesn't he have the most gorgeous arse?" "No, Connor does," thought Jackson. "All right, whoa, where the hell did that come from?" She really did not want to end up in the state of mind where she compared and contrasted every bloke she met against Connor. For one thing, that would make her a very sad individual. Also, she knew perfectly well that no one would ever measure up to him. No one ever had in the past 8 years, and that was before they'd shagged. And what a bloody good shag it had been. She would be destined to life as a spinster. Not going to happen. Yes, a night out where loud music could drown out her thoughts would do her the world of good. Connor's muscles ached deliciously after his workout. And so they should. He'd spent longer hours than usual at the gym, practically abusing the exercise bike, the rowing machine, and the specially designed weights that helped develop the muscles required to withstand the G-forces and racing conditions. It might look like all an F1 driver had to do was sit on their ass and steer, but there was more to it than that. Connor had to ensure that he worked on his neck muscles as a lot of stress was put on them, considering that the helmet weighed 7 kilograms and the G-force could send his head lurching and bobbing. He also had to concentrate hard on keeping up his upper body strength, so that he could tackle the twists and turns of the speeding car and the physical stress coming from the G-force. For similar reasons, exercising his arms and wrists were important. And, of course, there were his legs. A driver's braking power depended massively on the strength of his leg muscles, seeing as the pedals of F1 cars were made to be stiff. He thought it was ironic that he had trained his mind to be alert and prepared for anything. How else would he handle a speeding car and be totally attuned to every movement? And yet the reappearance of one person in his life had thrown him completely. During training seemed to be the only time that he was actually in control of his body. A body that craved Jax in a way that scared him. His theory was that if his body had been well worked, it wouldn't be so unruly. So, yeah, he'd overworked himself a lot lately. Nonetheless,
Whenever she crept into his thoughts, his cock roared to life. How was it possible that he thought of Jack so much? But then how could he not think of her? How could he not think of Wednesday night? It had felt so good to be inside her. She had been so responsive to his touch, so hot and tight around him, so gorgeous as she came, screaming. And then she had topped it off with, "Not bad, Mackenzie." Not bad, Mackenzie? It had been amazing, that was what it had been. He'd never had a shag like that in his life. Then she had scarpered like the hounds of hell were chasing her. Had that been regret? Or was it that what happened had meant so little to her? That he meant so little to her? Christ, why was he stressing over this? He should be glad. She was his favorite kind of woman. She understood that sex didn't mean the involvement of feelings. She didn't have this need to bask in the bloody afterglow, and she didn't put any pressure on him. She had just got her jollies and left, not even hinting for a compliment on her performance, or if she was the best sex ever. The irony that this woman was the best sex he'd ever had wasn't lost on him. He wondered if that meant it would take longer for him to burn off his cravings for her. The chiming of his mobile phone stole him from his contemplations. The name on the screen of his BlackBerry was Warren, an Olympic runner who had been a good mate of his over the years.
"Hello? Connor, you busy right now, mate?" "Just got out of the shower. About to have a beer and wind down. What's up?"
I'm at that new bar, Frankie's, with Clive and Mick."
That explained the background noise.
"I'm not really in the mood for that tonight."
"I think you might change your mind when I tell you who I'm looking at right now. Jackson Carter's here. She's with that really cute, leggy model who went to the charity event with her. And,
Connor's entire body tensed and his jaw locked.
"Well, that actor, Luke Winston, is hovering around her."
Little bastard. She probably should have been politely concentrating on what Luke was saying, but Jackson was busy wondering if there was such a thing as celebrity fright syndrome and if Anna suffered from it. She hadn't said a word since Luke had appeared at their table a half hour ago, just stared at him like he alone held the keys to the secrets of the universe. He certainly held a secret, but Jackson had yet to figure out what. On the surface, he seemed totally fine, and the evening had so far been all right if you discounted the fact that he sat with them without waiting for an invitation. He didn't seem conceited, he hadn't mentioned either of their careers, and he hadn't plowed her with extremely personal questions. They were just two people talking, which was kind of refreshing. But something just wasn't right. He was so nervous, and he couldn't meet her eyes for very long. A few times already he had tried to get her to leave the bar with him. Also, he was trying to get her plastered. Poor thing didn't know she'd worked in a pub for years and could handle her alcohol better than most people. Not that she wasn't the teensiest bit tipsy. The only reason she hadn't sent him away with a kick up the ass was that she was certain he'd be plastered before she was, and then maybe she could coax his big secret from him.
"Oh, bugger."
Jackson nearly jumped when Anna spoke. So she was alive, then.
"What's wrong?"
"You're not going to like this."
As Jackson followed Anna's gaze, she inhaled sharply. Connor and a cluster of blokes were stalking toward their table. He was in predator mode, it would seem. A wolf dressed in Armani clothing. It had only taken a second of seeing him before the memory of Wednesday night was all over her. It didn't help that he looked good in his gray shirt and black pants. As he came to stand before Jackson, only the mahogany table between them, there was a wordless exchange between them. His tense posture, twist of the lips, and raised brow asked if there was a reason why another bloke was so close to her that justified allowing him to live. Her shrug, casual swig of her drink, and a twirl of her ankle said that she wasn't affected by his crap and didn't have to explain herself to him. She watched as Connor's eyes slammed down on Luke, who was settled in the bulky armchair beside where he was standing, looking from her to Connor and back again. Luke hadn't missed the "fuck off" blazing from Connor's eyes, but he seemed to be waiting to see if Jackson would object to him going on his way. She didn't. She knew it was in his best interests to be out of Connor's sight. Something told her that Connor would be like this until he had tired of her. She could only hope that she had burned him out of her system before then. Jackson had expected that Luke might shoot a snarl at her or Connor, but he had the oddest look in his eyes. She was sure she saw flashes of shock and betrayal, but the emotions weren't directed at either her or Connor. What was with him? Almost the second after Luke had vacated the seat, Connor flopped into it. This meant he was now directly opposite her as they stared the hell out of each other. Honestly, she felt like a cowgirl about to have a showdown.
"It's Anna, isn't it?"
Following the male voice, Jackson turned her head and saw what she had never expected to see. A celebrity had seated himself next to Anna, and she hadn't frozen.
"Yeah, hi," she said a little shyly. "You're Warren, right?"
Of course Anna was faking her uncertainty. She knew exactly who he was. The man was a gold medal winner, for God's sake. She had first seen him in the flesh at the charity event. He had smiled at her a few times, but they had never gotten round to talking. Probably because she had made it her business to get drunk to distract Jackson from Connor's antics.
"And you're Jackson,"
said Warren as he looked past Anna at the woman who he had thought Connor was going to devour in the middle of the charity event. He didn't know what, if anything, was going on between them, but he knew Connor. He'd seen how possessive his mate was of her, and he'd figured it might be best to warn him that there was now another man coming onto her. Turned out he was right to do so. He handed Connor a Budweiser, noticing at the same time that it was what Jackson was drinking too. Jackson nodded.
"And you're the one who snitched to Connor that I was here tonight."
There was no way that Connor was already here when he saw her. It was obvious by the frustration on his face that he had been stewing on his emotions for a while, which suggested having dragged himself here from somewhere else. Warren smiled at her astuteness.
"What made you think it was me?"
"You're finding way too much pleasure in this awkward little situation. Plus, it gave you an excuse to hang around Anna. Upset her, and you'll lose your bollocks."
She said it so matter-of-factly that he laughed.
"Fair enough. That ginger one there is Clive, the tubby one is Mick. Both are my brothers-in-law."
Jackson nodded at Clive and Mick, who sat on either side of Connor. It was almost like they were flanking him. She smiled at that. Connor gave her a questioning look, but she said nothing. There was a long silence at the table. She realized that Anna and Connor's mates were all fixated on her and him, watching and waiting to see how this was going to play out. Was Jackson going to blow her fuse after Connor's display of ownership? Was Connor going to pop a vein after seeing her with Luke? She considered warning them that there was likely to be unsuitable language from the outset, and scenes that some people may find disturbing. It seemed that over the years, Connor had forgotten just how often he had had to chase idiots away from Jax. The problem was, she had a body that made a bloke think sinful thoughts. It had always gotten her attention, and always the wrong kind of attention. Boys had seemed to automatically think that if she had a body so alluring, she was some kind of seductress who was up for anything. Then there was the fact that her sister had been very loose with her body. Boys had tended to then reason that Jax must be easy like her. From minute one, Jax had brought out his primitive instinct to protect. It hadn't even mattered if the boy had seemed harmless. If he was a male and too close to her for Connor's liking, then that male needed to be on his way. Because she brought out another primitive instinct in him, too. To possess. Every wicked curve of her body called to any red-blooded male. She was edible, and he wanted another taste. He hadn't thought of anything else since the second she drove away the other night. Having her again was the only thing that would calm the raging lust coursing through him. The only thing that would feel right. Connor itched to touch her so much that he found himself tapping his restless fingers on the arms of the chair. He wanted to drag her out of there and fuck her to unconsciousness. Disliking the way she looked so unperturbed, he made sure he said something that would get him a response.
There's nothing quite like finding a randy bastard sniffing around your woman.
Jackson looked at him with mock sympathy.
Oh, Connor, how you do love to delude yourself. I'll say this one more time. I belong to no one.
She was impressed at how steady her voice was, given that her insides were coiling with a vicious hunger for the raw carnal pleasure she knew he could give her. There was no denying that his body was designed for it. She could vividly recall the feel of him, thick and hard and long inside her. And going by the way his lips were curved into his cocky smirk, she knew that he was recalling it.
You felt like you were mine the other night.
It probably should have bothered her that he had announced that for his mates to hear, but the world thought they were shagging anyway after what the tabloids had printed.
Sex doesn't give you ownership, Bryce.
My body owned yours the other night, and you know it.
It nettled her the way he said that, like she was at his mercy, like her body was his to bloody command or something.
It's so sad, Connor, the way you're being all cooky and boastful. You sound like a teenage boy who's just finally popped his cherry. It was a quickie in the woods. No need to get carried away with yourself.
I'm getting carried away, am I? As I recall it, you were the one screaming.
If you think that makes me anything like the other women who follow you around like you're the Pied Bleeding Piper, then you're very much mistaken. And you're just as mistaken if you think I'll tolerate your possessiveness.
It was a struggle to keep his voice level.
And you're very much mistaken if you think I'll ever be all right with another bloke being near you, let alone touching you. I see red every time.
Try to imagine how little I actually care.
He couldn't help smiling. She was pushing him, but her ballsy responses and the frustration shimmering in her eyes only made his dick harder. It wasn't easy reining in his eagerness to have her when he could sense that she was just as affected by the sexual tension as he was.
Be as pissed off with me as you like. It won't change the fact that Wednesday night will happen again. But you already know that, don't you?
There it was again, that insinuation that she had no control over things. Fair enough, she didn't have much at all, but she knew that he wasn't as in control as he liked to think. Maybe it was time to fight fire with fire.
You know, Mackenzie, these games of yours, getting my private schedule, swooping in and scaring off other blokes, breaking into my apartment, are pretty annoying. I'm not usually a fan of game playing, but I've got a good mind to make an exception here.
The calculating gleam in her eyes had him intrigued.
I'm up for it, Carter.
You don't know what it is yet.
Doesn't matter.
So overconfident, she sighed wistfully. Anna, what time is it?
After consulting her wristwatch, she replied, 11. Jackson fixed her eyes on Connor.
I'll bet that you won't last until 11:30 to get me out of here.
There was no point in acting as though there wouldn't be a repeat of the other night. They both wanted it. It would happen. A crooked grin appeared on Connor's face. She knew just how desperate he was to be inside her again, just as she knew that turning down her challenge was as good as admitting aloud that desperation and that she had managed to splinter his iron control. She had cornered him good and proper. Pride wouldn't let him admit his weakness.
All right.
Jackson sank further into her seat and shifted slightly so that her pants sagged slightly over her hip bones. Connor saw, and his nostrils flared. Anna looked at her curiously.
Comfy? Oh, yeah. I wouldn't normally chance this position. It makes my thong right up my arse. But since I'm going commando...
Connor's eyes darkened, and she smiled inwardly. Anna laughed to Warren.
She's actually telling the truth. She never wears underwear with her low-cut pants.
Just think, Jackson said to Connor.
If I'd been wearing a skirt, I could have done a Sharon Stone Basic Instinct move and flashed you. Just the thought of that had Connor swallowing hard.
Maybe next time.
So, tell me a bit about yourself, Warren.
Born and raised in London. 28. Got 5 gold medals.
What's your favourite sex position?
Stunned, he stuttered, I don't know.
Oh, come on. We're all adults here. He chuckled. He liked Jackson Carter. She was good for Connor. She would never take any of his shite without dishing it back.
I like having a woman on top.
Anna, what's yours? Same, actually. She wasn't just saying what she thought might excite Warren. It was true. Jackson tapped her chin thoughtfully. Personally, I prefer being taken from behind. Someone made a choking sound. But I do like a good shag up against a wall. She smiled at Connor, watching as his Adam's apple bobbed. Connor took a long guzzle from his bottle. Her words were conjuring all kinds of images in his head. His cock got impossibly harder. Now all he could think about was fucking her against a wall. He was going to kill her for this. He'd fuck her first, but then he was going to kill her. He glared at her warningly, but she seemed unfazed. What about you, Connor?
You'll soon find out, won't you?
His eyes became glued to her mouth as she took a small swig of her drink and then circled the tip of the bottle with her tongue. His entire body clenched. He wasn't sure whether he wanted to encourage her or throttle her. Then she took as much of the neck of the bottle into her mouth as she could and swirled her tongue around it before sucking it.
Bitch.
He hadn't realized he'd said it aloud until she smiled smugly. She swiped a drop of beer from her chin. I can't believe I've just dribbled. I usually swallow with no problem. He groaned aloud this time before taking another long, comforting guzzle from his bottle. Connor, have you ever wanked thinking about me? Half of his drink went down the wrong tube, and the other half he spluttered back up. That's a nasty cough you've got. There was water in his eyes when he looked back at her.
Have you ever got yourself off thinking about me?
She shrugged delicately as she said, Of course, with the help of my vibrator. Hell if she had one, though she'd always been curious. Had he been taking another gulp of his beer, Connor would have coughed that up as well. His voice was hoarse and shaky.
Vibrator.
Anna had to hide her laugh as every bloke at the table became riveted. It wasn't just Jackson's words, it was those famous eyes and that sultry voice and the way her sensual mouth moved as she talked. I pushed it in and out, imagining it was you, she said in what she hoped was a hypnotic tone. At the same time, she threaded the neck of the bottle through her closed fist. I played with my tits and clit, pretending it was you, and I came screaming your name. She took another swig of her Budweiser. Then I sucked the vibrator clean. With that, Connor sprung from his chair, snatched the bottle from her hand, which he handed to Anna, dragged Jax to her feet, and then threw her over his shoulder like she was an unruly child, all in the space of about 4 seconds. Oi! She shouted.
Not a word, Jax,
he gritted out as he stalked toward the door. He had never been so hard in his life. There was probably an imprint of his zipper on his cock. It was all her doing, and she was going to see the problem personally. He couldn't care less at the moment that he had just lost control, and with witnesses. All he cared about was having her. Jackson continued to shout at him and pounded his back with her fists as he exited the bar. He didn't even slow down. Desperate times, desperate measures. She slid her hands down the back of his trousers, grabbed the band of his boxer shorts, and tugged hard, determined to give him the world's worst wedgie. Connor stiffened, then writhed, then tried walking faster. Nothing alleviated the pain. It only worsened. So this was what it was like to wear a thong. He yanked hard on her legs and slid her down his body as he reached his convertible, which was parked quite illegally to the side of the bar.
He tried to fling her inside, but she took on a starfish pose, spreading out her arms and legs to hamper his attempt. Out of patience and uncaring of anyone who might be watching, he boldly cupped her. Instantly, she retracted her limbs and began sliding into the car to escape his grip. But just before he had a chance to shut the door, she snatched the car keys from his hand and scooted over to the driver's seat. As the engine roared to life, he gave her a warning look.
Jax.
It was a warning she ignored. Grinning, Jackson took the handbrake off and began driving the car at a crawling pace. She had no intention of driving away. For one thing, she had been drinking, and two, Connor would have a hernia. But the horror on his face was priceless. As he dived into the passenger seat, reaching for the handbrake, she was opening the driver's door and heading back to the bar. As mad as he was, Connor couldn't help laughing. He put the car in park and jogged after her. He caught her easily, since she was laughing so hard she could barely move. He jerked her back against him, twirled her round, and hoisted her up, urging her to curve her legs around him.
"You're a tease,"
he said, still laughing with her. Then he brought his lips to hers and devoured her, pressing her body close to him. She didn't fight him. She opened up to him like she was as hungry for the contact as he was. That in mind, he couldn't get them in the car fast enough. "You taking me back to my apartment?" she asked, all innocence as she clicked her seatbelt into place. Judging by the direction he was heading, the answer was no.
"Not a bloody chance. You're coming home with me, and you're going to do something about this hard-on that you caused and then deliberately aggravated."
"I can do something about that right now."
Chapter 8. Before the words had properly registered in his brain, she was across his lap and her mouth exhaled heavily against his erection through his pants. He groaned. His button and zipper were deftly dealt with, and then her soft hand was fishing him out of his boxers. He sucked in a breath as she licked him from base to tip before running her tongue along the slit, lapping up the drop of moisture there.
"Jax."
Then she closed that mouth that should surely only exist in fantasies over the head of his cock, lathed it with her tongue, and sucked hard.
"Jesus."
Driving one-handed now, Connor speared his fingers in her hair as she took as much of him into her hot mouth as she could. When his dick hit the back of her throat, he groaned helplessly. Just as she had to the bottle, she swirled her tongue over and under him. The breath slammed out of his lungs as she then began sucking with vigor. Had he been standing, his knees would have given out.
"Fuck yeah. That's it, babe. Just like that."
Jackson smiled around his dick. It was a smile of pure feminine satisfaction. With her mouth, she learned the length of him, sliding her tongue over each ridge and vein, and sporadically pausing in her sucking to lazily curl her tongue over the silky head. She fully intended to drive him to the edge of his control again. She knew that soon enough he would have his fill of her, and then she would probably never see him again. That could even happen tonight. She was going to make sure that she wasn't easy to forget. Who was it who said that reality can never live up to fantasy? Thought Connor as he groaned again. Here was evidence that that theory was absolute bollocks. How many times had he imagined this? Too often, and yet never had he imagined it would be this good. He'd have loved to watch, but there wasn't a chance in hell that he was going to stop this car and delay having her any longer. He'd managed to catch fleeting glimpses, and shit, just seeing his cock disappearing into her mouth. What he wouldn't give to have the feel of her mouth around his dick while she came. Christ, she was sucking him even deeper now, gliding the flat of her tongue along his underside each time. Helplessly, he began lifting his hips, surging into her mouth. And now the little witch was lightly grazing him with her teeth.
"Jax, babe, you have to stop."
Instead of ending the torture, Jackson worked harder and faster, tightening her lips around him and sucking until her cheeks hollowed.
"Jax, I mean it. You have to stop or I'll blow my load right now."
"Good," she hummed. The hum vibrated along his cock, dragging at his self-control. That was it. He was gone. Fisting his hand even tighter in her hair, he lifted his hips and erupted into her mouth with a loud, guttural groan. She continued sucking, milking him of every last drop as he pulsed incessantly inside her. Then the mental bitch sat up, took a deep breath, and faced forward to gaze out the window as if she hadn't just given him the best blowjob of his life. His half-promise, half-threat came out in a gruff voice.
You should know right now that I'm going to fuck you till you can't think straight once we get to my apartment.
Connor wasn't oblivious to the looks they received when they hastened into his building a few minutes later. The doorman, Henry, looked at him with surprise, and then realization and approval. Connor knew why. He never brought a woman back to his apartment. It seemed that Henry was an admirer of Jax's because apparently the fact that it was Jackson Carter the model meant it all made sense. He wanted to tell Henry that he was only bringing her here because his apartment was nearer than hers, that it was nothing to do with the puzzling primal urge to have her in his home. Admiring looks followed Jax with every step she took. The security guards practically drooled, and even the female receptionist looked a little mesmerized. Jax, however, was as totally oblivious as ever to her effect on people. Two feelings battled for dominance within Connor. Frustration because of the blatant ogling going on like he wasn't there, and satisfaction at seeing people want so desperately what was his. If there hadn't been people in the elevator with them, there was a good chance that the shedding of clothes would have started then. Although emptying himself into her mouth had calmed his frenzied state, his need for her still hammered at him. So much so that he wasn't able to refrain from pressing his front to her back and reaching around to briefly cup her, loving her answering shudder. He couldn't bring himself to care that one of the blokes in the elevator had caught the movement and was staring at them, his expression hoping there was more to see. Why disappoint the man? This time, Connor cupped a breast briefly. Jax, completely oblivious to their voyeur, subtly rubbed her ass against his ever-hard bulge. Connor punishingly bit her ear, so she retaliated by reaching around and pinching his ass. Had the elevator always been this slow?
We should have taken the stairs, he muttered.
To the 9th floor? Not likely. He ignored the knowing chuckles of those around them. As the doors opened at the 7th floor, Jackson held them open. I'll tell you what, Mackenzie. Let's hit the stairs. Whoever gets to the 9th first gets to be on top. For a second, he didn't breathe.
You're on, Carter.
Jackson could barely walk for laughing as Connor attacked the flights of stairs like a rocket. He must have tired of waiting because he came back looking for her, finding her on the 8th, still giggling. He more or less dragged her the rest of the way up. They darted to the door of his apartment like they were being pursued by a knife-wielding madman. Which was why Jackson was taken aback when he didn't jump her when they got inside. Instead, he stood staring at her, breathing hard. As she mirrored his stance and remained rooted to the spot, a part of her brain took notes on her surroundings. The interior was exactly like Connor, masculine, bold, and stylish. This place was a hell of a lot bigger than her apartment. The balcony was a surprise. Moments went by, and still he didn't move. He was so still it was unnerving. She realized he was trying to retain some control. But she didn't want him controlled. She wanted him the way he had been the other night. So she did what would get any predator moving. She began to back away. Sure enough, with each step she took backwards, Connor took one forwards. When the back of Jackson's knees connected with something, effectively stopping her retreat, Connor was on her. His hands dug into her hair as his lips took command of hers, taking the response he wanted. Each sweep of his tongue against hers sent tingling sensations shooting to her clit. He took the kiss deeper and deeper until he was practically drinking her into him. It both promised and warned her of what was to come. Without parting their mouths, he took her by the waist and guided her around whatever had obstructed her backpedaling, and then urged her to walk backwards.
Maybe they took a left somewhere. When he brought them to an abrupt halt, Jackson opened her eyes to find herself in, no surprise, his bedroom. Like the other parts of the interior she had glimpsed, the furnishings were all modern and masculine in design. Dominating this room was a big, hulky bed fit for a sheik. "Do you have a crown and a harem to go with that?" He laughed.
"You won't be taking the piss out of it once you've laid on it. It's the softest thing ever."
He ran a fingertip down her cheek.
"Except maybe for your skin, which I haven't seen all of yet."
He raised her arms above her head and then slid his hands down her arms to her stomach. Gathering the lacy red fabric, he peeled the strappy top from her body.
"Do you have any idea how many times I've thought about stripping you like this?"
He couldn't resist thumbing her already taut nipples through the lacy bra. Tonight there would be no bra between his hands and those breasts that taunted him. He unclipped the offending contraption and whipped it from her. The breath left his lungs in a whoosh. Perfect, plump, high breasts with puckered tips greeted him.
"Jax,"
he breathed. The pants needed to go now so he could finally have her naked in front of him. When he let them pool at her feet, he groaned.
"You weren't lying."
"Commando. And bald. Jesus Christ."
"Lie on the bed."
Having kicked off her shoes, she sensually climbed onto it with a cat-like grace and sank back into the mattress with one leg out straight and the other bent at the knee. He swallowed heavily at the inviting, erotic, cock-torturing sight. Yes, this was how he had envisioned it would be. Jax laid out for him to explore and tease and pleasure until she sobbed for him to be inside her. Was that why his need for her was so great? Because he had wanted and imagined having her for so long? If that was true, then maybe once he had lived out this very fantasy, he could let her go. Maybe.
"Your turn to strip," she announced, snapping him from his thoughts.
Jackson was only barely resisting the urge to shyly shield herself from his heated gaze, or to reach out and drag him to the bed. Either would do.
"Not yet."
"I'm not being naked here all by myself, Mackenzie. Get your kit off now."
Aroused by that assertive tone, he smiled and slowly shed his clothes until he stood completely naked before her. Jackson's mouth went dry at the vision in front of her. There didn't seem to be a part of that blessed body that wasn't toned. She loved that although he was muscly, he wasn't stocky or beefy. No, he was just right. Better than just right. He was the personification of power and raw masculinity, and for tonight at least, he was all hers. His dick was, as usual, standing to attention. And what a dick it was. Looking at it now, she was amazed it had actually fit in her mouth. Involuntarily, she licked her bottom lip. It was possible that Connor groaned, but she was too engrossed at the sight of his tempting cock to pay much attention.
"Jax."
Her eyes remained glued on his dick.
"Hmm?"
"Jax, my face is up here."
"And your point is?"
He laughed, and then his face was suddenly in front of hers and his body pressed down on her as he kissed her wildly. She went to curl her arms around his neck, but he took her wrists and placed them above her head.
"No touching me yet. It's my turn now. Keep your hands here."
This kiss was a goodbye kiss, because it would be a while before he was back to ravish those talented lips. He wanted to know this amazing body better than anyone ever had, better than even she knew it. With his hands, mouth, tongue, and teeth, he proceeded to explore and pay homage to every inch of her, purposely skipping her main erogenous places. He discovered other erogenous zones that he tormented and teased. He also learned other things. He found that her neck was so unbelievably sensitive that he could have her bowing from the bed by just exploring that alone. He discovered that licking the length of her spine could make her shudder, laugh, and moan all at the same time. And he also found that if he took too long to get to the good parts, a string of curses would emit from her.
"For God's sake, Connor, Will you leave my fucking belly button the fuck alone and either move up a fucking bit or down a fucking bit?
A moan of relief spilled from her when, finally, his hands possessively closed over her breasts as his mouth landed on a nipple and latched on tight. His hands massaged and kneaded while he suckled on the bud and plucked at it with his teeth. Jackson moaned again as she felt a climax building. The bastard had subjected her to a sensual assault, rendering her a bomb waiting to go off. He lifted his head and pinned her with a look.
"Don't come yet."
"Like I can help it."
He smiled, and it was too cocky and smug for her liking.
"Oh, you think this is funny, do you?"
She curled her hand around his dick and stroked him. When he groaned, she mimicked his smug grin. Connor placed her hands back over her head.
"I told you, no touching me yet. You had your fun in the car."
"I also made you come."
He kept backing off every time she came close to the edge. His smile transformed from cocky to wicked.
"You're right. I'm being selfish. You want to come? I'll make you come."
He slid down her body, nipping and sucking just because. One lash of his tongue to her clit had Jackson's body bucking. His fingers parted her wet folds and he blew out a long breath, making her entire body quiver. Then he swept that tongue between her folds and swirled it around her clit. She was lost.
"It tastes so good," he groaned.
Pinning her restless hips to the bed, Connor feasted on her, lapping, suckling, licking, nipping. He continuously flicked the bud with the tip of his tongue, loving the sounds she made. He couldn't resist biting it gently. Then he plunged his tongue inside her and stabbed over and over.
"Oh my God," she rasped.
Unconsciously, she grabbed his head, but he gently slapped her hands away and mumbled,
"Above your head."
The vibrations of his words rocketed up into her core and sent sizzles through her body. As he alternated between stabbing his tongue and swirling it around, wringing moans and gasps and words of encouragement from her, she held onto the headboard to anchor herself. He had totally overloaded her senses, and now he was doing something else oh so clever with that seriously talented tongue of his. Tremors were racking her. She was so close, yet so far because he was dragging it out.
"Connor," she said in a cautioning tone.
"Just a little longer, babe."
He couldn't get enough of the taste of her.
"No, I need to come now."
His onslaught continued.
"Connor."
Connor speared a finger inside her and sought out her G-spot as his mouth latched onto her clit and suckled. She gave a loud cry as she came, shuddering and bucking. Her eyes were wild when she opened them again. They pulled at his soul, fired his blood, and there was another feeling, but he didn't want to examine it. He retrieved a condom from the bedside drawer, donned it quickly, and settled his hips between her invitingly spread thighs. Locking one of his hands around both her wrists, he pinned them above her head and began to slowly work himself inside her. It was killing him to move slowly, but she was so tight, and he didn't want to hurt her more than he already was. Jackson sucked in a breath as her muscles stretched to accommodate him. The pressure was unbelievably good, even with the burning. That edge of pain added to the pleasure like a cherry complemented a cake. Yes, the pain could stay. But this going slow business, that had to go.
"You know, Connor, as big as your dick is, it's not really the destructive weapon you apparently perceive it to be. And I'm no delicate flower of the North."
"Jax, you're tight and I'm so hard it hurts. I want you screaming in pleasure, not pain."
He added in a low voice.
"I hurt you last time."
"I liked it. I even relived the entire thing with my vibrator when I got home."
He groaned and dropped his forehead to hers.
"Don't start talking like that again. I'm hanging on by a very thin thread here."
She curled her legs around his hips.
"If you won't snap that thread, I will."
The second her teeth sank into the flesh of his shoulder, he was a goner.
"Fuck."
He slammed home and his groan mingled with hers. Her muscles clamped around him and it felt so good. better than he remembered. Along with the pleasure was relief. He was finally inside her, finally where he needed to be. It was agony, not moving.
Jace, you okay?
A good word to describe what she felt was full. So unbearably, yet blissfully full.
Fuck me, Connor.
And there went his sanity. His control was utterly shattered. Reason and rationality.